I'm Ronnie Allen, and let me introduce a lady whose recordings are beloved by so many of the girl group followers all over the world, even though she was never a girl group.
That's good.
But she did pretty good by being the solo recording artist known as Tracy Day. Let's have a little drum roll. Ladies and gentlemen, here she is. Tracy Day on the phone. Are you there, Tracy?
I'm here listening to all these accolades. It's wonderful. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm pretty strange, aren't I? They're sincere. I love your recordings, and so many others do. A lot of people think you've been hiding. Was that really the case? I mean, you have not been all that visible over the last few years.
I was just on the internet the other day, and I saw that it said she disappeared in 1967. And then I started to count up the years, and I said, oh, that must have been when I just had gotten married. I guess I went into obscurity then.
Where were you originally from?
Actually, I was born in Brooklyn, New York, and then moved to Yonkers, New York. And I attended Fordham University, commuting from Yonkers down into the city.
Now, you were not born Tracy Day.
No, I was born in a nice Italian family, and my last name is Ferrari, which I love. And my first name is Nora Ferrari. And when I started to record for Bob Crew, we had our first released record, Bob said, you know, I'm thinking about giving you a different name. I was kind of like, what? But then again, in those days, people were changing their names. Look at Tony Bennett. I know he had a different last name, Benedetto.
That's right, Anthony Benedetto.
What happened with Bob is that he said, I think you should be a Tracy. You look like a Tracy. And I liked it. I said, ooh, that sounds sexy. I like that. So I got the name Tracy, and then he said, now you need a last name. And he picked Day, and of course he had to spell it in his creative way, D-E-Y instead of D-A-Y, which was very confusing, but I liked it, and that's how I became Tracy Day.
There was actually an actress who's still around named Susan Day, and spells it also D-E-Y.
No relation, but I know there is a Susan Day, right?
Obviously no relation. Except if she started out as Susan Ferrari, I don't think so.
No.
It's Bob Crew who you can credit for your name. You actually started out as a child as a tap dancer?
Well, I'm not really a tap dancer. I told my mother, I want to be a singer. And she said, well, I don't know any singing coaches or whatever you call them. I mean, don't forget, my mother came from Italy, and she was a Renaissance woman. But in those days, she wasn't that familiar with showbiz. So she said, how about dancing lessons? I said, okay. So she made a couple of phone calls, and I wound up going to Manhattan every Saturday for dancing lessons. And it started with tap lessons and ballet lessons. And then finally, the connection was made with a coach. And I kind of liked it, some little commercials as a child, and studied acting and singing, of course, all the way through. And that's how it all started.
What was your most popular commercial?
Well, the most vivid one that I remember is I did a commercial for Hebrew National Kosher Delicatessen. It was a hot dog commercial. Yeah.
Wow. Hot dog.
I didn't forget that because I bit into this hot dog and I said, oh my God, here's this Italian girl doing this commercial. They should know.
It was not a singing commercial, was it?
No. This was strictly acting. You know, it was the type of thing where you take a bite and then you make a noise and you say how great it was, that kind of thing.
So it sounds like you had a pretty happy life.
I did. I mean, I was always in the creative field, so I loved it.
Any brothers or sisters?
Yes, I have a sister, and her name is Barbara. She's not an entertainer, but she is a teacher, a wonderful teacher in Westchester.
Now, when you were growing up, were there any singers that you particularly admired on the radio?
Well, I always loved Peggy Lee. I used to listen to her records and used to see clips of her on TV, whatever. I just thought she was so wonderful, and she was such an interpretive type of singer. I love that about her. So I always said to myself, look, her range isn't even that spread out, and mine isn't that way either. I have more of a low voice, and my range isn't high or whatever. But she always sounded to me like she could really interpret a song. I loved her.
Yeah.
And I liked Brenda Lee, of course. She was more, you know, my contemporary. I loved
Peggy
her.
Peggy Lee. In other words, you like female singers as long as their last names are Lee.
That's it. You got it.
So, let's see. Who else is there? Did you like Michelle Lee?
I thought of her more as an actress.
Okay. Actually, her favorite entertainer, ladies and gentlemen, but she hasn't said, was Pinky Lee.
Oh, wow. That's really a
Moving right along. Now we're going to get to the real fun part of the show. You met Bob Crew by submitting a demo. Do you remember what the demo was that you submitted to Bob Crew?
But I don't remember the song, but whatever it was, it caught Bob's ear, and he somehow made contact with me, and it was the start of a whole new thing for me. I have to say this, the first time I saw him, I couldn't believe how handsome he is. Oh, my God, and was at that time. He has a face that a sculptor, a magazine, anybody would love. I think he was a model, and it really looks as though he might have been it. And the way he dressed, oh, my God, in those days, he was the most handsome man, yes.
Right around the time that you met Bob Crewe, he was getting involved with a group that was just starting to get some attention called the Four Seasons.
Frankie Valli, yep, and the Four Seasons, right.
The others being, of course, Tommy DeVito and Bob Gaudio and the late Nick Massey. Now, the Four Seasons first hit was Sherry. Bob Gaudio, I believe, wrote Sherry, if I recall.
Yes, Bob Gaudio wrote Sherry, and he also did the lyrics for the one that I did. The answer record to Sherry, which was called Jerry, I'm Your Sherry.
And this was your very first recording session, and like the Four Seasons record of Sherry, it appeared on the VJ record label.
Right, and what I loved about this song, when I first heard it, it was exactly in my key. Believe it or not, Frankie Valli has that magnificent high falsetto voice, and I could sing on that track because it was exactly in my range. So it was very simple. We went into Stay Phillips, I believe that was the recording studio at the time, and we recorded the answer record, which I got a lot of airplay. Yeah. That was really a great thing.
About doing that answer record, because I know some people sometimes say, oh, I don't want to do an answer record because it's kind of like a novelty. Did you have any reservations about it?
Well, it made a lot of sense to me. I mean, I love Jerry. Of course, Sherry, I'm Your Jerry.
Sherry, I'm Your Jerry?
Are
you changing?
Sherry, I'm Your Sherry. I see the album. I didn't see the record before. Can we erase that and start all over? Okay.
Do you really want to erase that? I think it's funny.
Okay.
Can we leave it in?
For those moments.
Pretty please, let's leave it in, all right?
Okay. I thought it was a good marketing idea also, because Sherry was getting a lot of play, and then this came out kind of like a little bit after that. So I thought that was a good idea.
Tracy, if it's okay with you, what I'd like to do is flip that record over, because the flip side is a ballad, and many people probably never heard Once in a Blue Moon, but I really like it, and I have a feeling you like this song too, because it's very
different. I do.
This song was written by, I believe, Bob Crewe and Sid Bass, is that correct?
Right, that's it. I love this song. It was a whole different side of me. You'll see when you hear it.
Once in a Blue Moon, Ronnie talks to Tracy Day, and the Blue Moon's out there, and I'm talking to her. Well, Tracy, long time no see, which is the next record.
The beat of this one, it was kind of like, almost like a little bit of, like a rap type of beat. And those, I mean, when I think about rap now, I think about that, the way it was very staccato and very sharp. Like the lyrics were like, right, boom, boom, and that was it. And it just captured, I think, a very good rhythm. I love that song. It was great, too.
Time no see. That's Tracy Day, and I'm Ronnie Allen talking with Tracy. A lot of voices on that record and many of your other records. Was that multi-track voices, or were they just other girls? Or
at that time, we always did lots of tracks and lots of overdubbing, but I remember we had some great gal singers. We used them a lot on my recordings, and they were just terrific, and they were very, very rhythmic. And it was just a great group of gals. Too bad I can't remember their names, but they were wonderful backup singers.
If it's okay with you, I'd like to give them a name, because they probably don't have a name, so I'm going to call them the Dayettes. There's Tracy Day and the Dayettes.
Okay, that's great. I love it. Should have thought of that.
There you go. But the interesting
thing, my manager in those days, we could have conquered the world.
Before we get to a record that was inspired by a film that starred Elizabeth Taylor, I wonder what that one could be.
I know
you know. And we all know that you know. But before we get to that, the interesting thing, when people talk about you, they talk about the girl group era. They almost make it sound like you're a girl group.
I know, I don't like that.
And you never actually, even when you did performing, it was always as a solo artist. Is that
yes,
right?
I only performed solo, and Charlie Colella did most of my arrangements. And when I did travel and promote songs and did nightclub work, I'd have my beautiful music right there ready to go. And I never had a backup singer on stage, live for that matter. But maybe because the sound in the recording studio with the backup singers, it got confusing. But no, I was just a single girl singer, they call it.
Is it true that Teenage Cleopatra was inspired by the movie Cleopatra?
I believe so. Mm-hmm.
And I've heard rumors that you were not crazy about the song for some reason.
No, I really didn't like it. And I remember when they first presented me with the lead sheet, I said, I'm not going to do this. This is like teeny bopper stuff. And they wanted me to sing it in a certain way. I was young then at one time, but I'm making like a real young girl's voice in it. And I just didn't like it. But I was convinced to do it. And I'm glad I did it, because that record put me on the charts.
That was the first one that actually made the Billboard Hot 100.
I went to L.A. with that. Everybody knew me in L.A., top five record. Of course, in New York, they weren't that familiar, but in L.A., it was like top five, which was a big, big thing for me at the time.
This is Tracy Day, and back then, you could call her your teenage Cleopatra. What really changed your luck was a new record label. That was on Liberty, as opposed to the first two, which were on VJ. I was Teenage Cleopatra. Did you have problems emoting, stopping the singing, and then going into a spoken part and sounding genuine?
No, because, as I said, you know, I took so many lessons. I mean, I had had acting lessons before I met Bob Crew. I had lots of singing lessons, and I was doing commercials, so it was kind of, it was easy for me.
Okay.
Really, it was natural.
I'm Ronnie Allen, and I am so pleased to be doing the first ever interview with Miss Tracy Day. Tracy, thank you so much for honoring me in this way. I appreciate it.
Thank you. I love talking to you. You make things so easy.
Now we get to the next record, and this is one of my favorite recordings by you. But before we get to it, do we have somebody on the phone?
Well, is this the infamous Ronnie Allen with the long and lost Tracy Day?
And who is this?
Can't you recognize my voice?
Give me a little clue.
The concrete and the clay beneath my feet begins to crumble.
And this is the boy that I love. Here he comes.
There you go.
This is the writer of Here Comes the Boy That I Love, Eddie Rambo.
How are you doing, Mike?
I'm doing great.
What, it's been 45 years?
I know, and you live close by. I didn't even know it. You're right in Manhattan.
Where are you?
In Scarsdale, about 30 minutes from you, I think.
Wow.
I'm going to have a drink with you after we hang up, okay?
Into the city often?
Yes. In fact, I'm doing some work at HB Studio in the Village. I'm writing, and I'm involved with the HB Theater Playwrights. Had some plays done there.
Definitely have a drink. Are you married? Are you
Yes,
what?
I am married, and I have two sons.
I did try to reach you many times via the internet and via various people who I thought might be able to connect up with you, but you just were very, so it's really good to hear your voice after all these.
Well, I'm not going to lose touch with you now, that's it.
Tell me about Here Comes the Boy. Did you write that for Tracy? You were working with Bob Crew back then.
Talking about 45 years ago.
Here comes the amnesia coming.
I'm having a senior moment.
You know, I've talked to you on the phone, and recently you've been having a lot of those.
I think so, yeah. Well, we were staff songwriters, so we were required to write songs. And I think what it was is that particular time, we had just written that. We possibly may have known that Tracy was going to come up with a session, so Bob might have told us, but I honestly don't remember. But in either case, I'm glad she did it.
It was just a wonderful time when the writers would come into Genius Incorporated, that was the studio that Bob had on the West Side, and it was so creative, all these writers, and of course, Eddie was wonderful, and he played and he'd say, I think I have something for you, Tracy, I think you like this song, and he'd play it for you right there, and we'd sing along, and I'd say, yeah, I want to do this, and Bob would say, okay, let's hear it, and sing a couple of bars. That's how creative it was at that time. It was fabulous, Eddie. Thanks so much.
Oh, thank you so much. It was a terrific record, and it was an honor to have you do it.
We're going to listen to it right now. Eddie, thank you so much for calling in, and this is Tracy Day doing a composition co-written by Ed Rambo. You're Ed Rambo these days.
Yes, I am.
Then you were Eddie Rambo and Bud Rehak, and this is Tracy Day, and I love this song. This is Here Comes the Boy.
Here comes the boy that I love. Here comes the boy that I love.
Here comes the boy that I love, comes the boy that I love, comes the boy that I love, comes the boy that I love. What people don't know is, actually, you hear the fade-out at the end of the record, but she actually was singing that for 17 hours. And they said, Tracy, the session's over, you can stop. I can't resist. Let's face it, that song did not have a deep message. I think Eddie would be the first to admit it. There was no deep message.
It had what they call in those days the sound.
There was a very well-known country singer by the name of Skeeter Davis. And what did you think of Skeeter? Did you like Skeeter's records?
Well, I am a big fan of country and Western music. I love that sound. Of course, I knew about Skeeter Davis, but I didn't know she was going to record a song that I recorded at the same time, which wasn't written for either one of us. So when I recorded mine, and it was released, her record was released also almost exactly the same time. Mm-hmm. And it created a little bit of confusion because we hit the charts and both of us were on the charts with the same song. And I think it kind of like took away, especially from me, because I wasn't well known then at all.
Talking about a song called Gonna Get Along Without You Now. And back in 1956, it was originally done by Patience and Prudence, and it was their follow-up to their huge hit called Tonight You Belong to Me. Considering that you had to fight the competition of Skeeter Davis, the fact that both of your recordings, in spite of that, did move up the chart, yours actually got to number 51, but yeah, it would have been much bigger if the other one were not present. But obviously, people liked the song. What I noticed about your recording of Gonna Get Along Without You Now is... it's a rather unusual arrangement of it. It was Bye Bye Baby.
That was Bob's idea, and he really put like a little bit of a bluesy type of beginning with that. It was really so different from the actual song. I mean, Bye Bye Baby, now don't cry, baby, you gotta get along. And then we did some more of that, and then it went into the song. I thought that was really cool.
Bye Bye Baby, now don't cry.
Get Along Without You Now. And what I neglected to mention about Here Comes the Boy, and going to get along without you now, is the fact that those were on yet another record label, which was Amy Records. What was all this label hopping that you were doing? Now, Bob Cruise producing all of these records. Why is it that we go from VJ to Liberty to Amy? It seems weird.
I don't know. Maybe we could ask him. We'll get
okay,
it back.
Okay, I will have to write that down. Call
Bob. That's probably why that happened.
Okay. Anyway, we're going to play a song right now that was written by the gentleman who surprised you a few moments ago. I'm going to call him Ed Rambo because that's what he likes to be known as these days.
But I know him as Eddie. So
you know him as Eddie. Okay. You're the boss today during this interview. He's Eddie Rambo. Eddie and Bud Rehak also wrote a song called Hanging On to My Baby, and that was the follow-up to Going to Get Along Without You Now. What could you tell us about Hanging On to My Baby?
Hanging On to My Baby just had a nice flow. I don't know what category you'd put it in. Maybe it sounded a little bit like a country song, too. But all I know is it's a nice melody, very catchy. I liked it the minute I heard it, and of course I said I'm going to do that one. And there it is.
Hanging on to my baby.
To my baby, Tracy Day. Is it okay with you, Tracy, if I flip over Hanging On to My Baby and play one of my favorite Tracy Day recordings?
What is that?
I'll give you a hint. Let's see what I can say. Let's see. There's a place in New York that has this name, and it's also an island, and it begins with a J. How about Jamaica? Okay, now, do you have any idea what I could be talking about?
Could that be a record that's also a dance?
I guess that's what it was supposed to be.
Ska Do Dia! That's
what came up with Ska Do Dia.
Mr. Genius himself, Bob Crew.
Now, Hanging On to My Baby was actually the A-side. I love that one, but I have to tell you, I really love Ska Do Dia as well.
Let me ask you, why do you like that?
It's very catchy. It's the tune. It's not so much the lyrics, although the lyrics do make a lot of sense. And it's also related to the fact that back when this record came out, Millie Small had a hit record called My Boy Lollipop. And people were talking about music called Jamaica Ska.
Oh.
And that was what obviously inspired this. But being the silly kind of person that I am, probably what I like about it most was the title, Ska Doodia. I mean, like, what's your favorite dance? Oh, the Ska Doodia, of course. You know, it's like, did you like the song?
I liked the song. I mean, I thought it was great. I mean, it wasn't one of my favorites, but it had that thumping beat. That was it, too. It had that nice beat, very good beat. And I remember it being a dance at the time, although I never really saw anybody dance that, so there you go.
Well, they write the song first, and if the song becomes a big hit, then they write the dance,
okay,
I guess.
I'm sorry about that. Maybe my song is to blame, but the dance never got to be a big hit.
At any rate, I do like this one a lot. We're going to play it right now. This is Tracy Day and Ska Doodia. Wondering how that's spelled, it's S-K-A hyphen D-O-O hyphen D-E-E hyphen Y-A-H. But you knew that anyway, I'm sure. Backup voices, of course, were the Dayettes, who I named a few moments ago.
Okay.
That's not you doing all the backup voices on that. That's got to be some of the girls. Although you did do some of the backups on your records. Here Comes the Boy, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, that was multiple. Yeah,
right.
That was it.
Multiple. But we got a few more to go, and if you ask me what the next one is...
What are you going to play?
I won't tell.
One second.
We didn't rehearse this, ladies and gentlemen, and it sounds like it. That's the name of the record. It's called I Won't Tell. It was on Amy Records, and it has that kind of a Stay Phillips sound. Were most of these records recorded at the Stay Phillips studio?
Yes, it was right there in the 50s also, I think. And it just was a great, great studio. A lot of big hits came out of there, and a lot of original sounds. I mean, the atmosphere was so great. I forgot the guy's name who was the owner, but he'd let you experiment and come up with something and work with. The engineers were wonderful. And I have to say this, at that time, when I went in there, and as a young artist, I would say, oh my God, look at all the tracks, and it was like so big and enormous. And now when I think about it, what they have today compared to that, it's like you don't even need a singer anymore to go in there. But in those days, it was quite something because they had a vast amount of tracks in that studio there. Yep.
This is a recording called I Won't Tell, I guess another Bob Crew composition.
Either. Yes, it is definitely Bob Crew.
Definitely Bob Crew.
And Bob Gaudio, too.
Okay, we're going to listen to it right now, and this is Tracy Day, and I'm going to tell you what it is. It's called I Won't Tell.
Walking down the street, don't you dare give me the eye. Strangers when we meet,
I Won't Tell, Tracy Day, and we're going to move along now to Blue Turns to Gray, and this one had a different writer, I believe.
Yes, very proud of this song. This was written by Keith Richards of the Rolling Stones, and when I heard it, I love to do the blues, and I just love this song, and I was able to do it in a different style, in my style, and I got a lot of comments about this one, yep.
Tracy, did you know that the song title, as well as the spelling, rhyme, Tracy Day, D-E-Y, Blue Turns to Gray, G-R-E-Y?
I know that. Very good, Mr. Allen.
Thank you. I am Ronnie Allen, talking with Tracy Day, and before we play a little hanky-panky, I want to ask you about Clay Cole. You were associated for quite some time with Clay Cole. Did you have a regular show with him?
Yes, I was very excited to hear that I was chosen. I would be a weekly guest on the Clay Cole show. Actually, I wasn't even a guest at that point. We were like regulars on the show. And it was myself and Angela Martin and the Del Sattons and Chuck McCann. And it was just a little family of a Saturday show where we'd get together and do the hits of the week. And we took them all from, of course, the top five or top ten, whatever. And it lasted a whole year. It was on WPIX-TV, which was Channel 11.
So you were on that show every week for an entire year.
And Clay Cole, my God, he's another guy that was so, so handsome. I mean, he had that dark, dark hair, and he was kind of like a lightish skin, and he just like, oh, my God, he was so sexy and always energetic, and he got everybody together and funny as anything, and he was the MC of the show also. So not only did he, like, was his show that he produced, but he also took part in it, and he was just great. Love Clay.
Let's tell people that Clay's website is www.claycoleshow.com, C-L-A-Y-C-O-L-E-S-H-O-W.com. and you have to have the word show in there, otherwise you get it, believe it or not, there's a different Clay Cole.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, we've got three more recordings that I would like to get to, and before we do some hanky-panky, I want to ask you, you have a master's degree in what?
Theater Arts and Communication from Columbia University in New York.
Ivy League school?
Yes, it is an Ivy League school, and I was shocked when they accepted me.
Ah. And they, but they didn't accept Tracy Day, they accepted Nora Ferrari.
Nora Ferrari, that's it. Yeah. I remember I applied to the school, and I had, I think, my second son at the time, and I said, I think I'm going to go back to college and get a master's. I gave my application to Columbia, and sure enough, they accepted me. So I had an infant at home, and I went back to school, and my mother would babysit, and there I was taking classes. I loved it. Anybody out there who wants to study after many, many years, it's a great time to do it.
You taught college courses, too?
Yeah, and then after that, since I majored in communication and theater arts, I combined it into a college course. My class was called How to Say It Better, and it was an evening four-credit seminar that I did out of the College of New Rochelle, and I had a lot of students who really wanted skills and how to get back into the workforce, and they just felt like they needed some improvement on their speech and presentation of themselves, something that anybody could use today, really, which was...
How to Say It Better. Now I'm going to be nervous. When I send you a copy of this interview, you're going to probably send me a critique. And Ronnie, these are the ways that you could have said things better here.
No, never, never. I'll do that to you. Never.
You were in a movie in the year 2007, and that was called Reservation Road.
Yeah. I played Mark Ruffalo's client. He was a lawyer in the film, and it was based on a book where this lawyer, who Mark Ruffalo played, commits a hit and run, and it was a young child that he hit. And it's a very sad story, but it's got a lot of insight into it and remorse and that kind of thing. And what was interesting about it, I do play one of his clients, and this happens like the day after he has committed this, and he's kind of like all upset. But anyway, it was produced and directed by a great guy by the name of Terry George, who did Hotel Rwanda, big, big film. And he did this film, and I was really happy to be in it because Terry's a wonderful director also.
Okay, switching gears, what can you say about this recording called Hanky Panky? This is not the same Hanky Panky that Tommy James did.
Hanky Panky was Bob Crewe. Let me try to think of this. I don't remember it too well. Why don't you play it and fill me in on it?
Okay, Tracy, your wish is my command.
My mama told me not to make with the eyes of the guys in the corner. And I remember what she said, a little girl, use your head, and then we won't hold ya. Young boys treat girls like toys, oh, always making with the hanky.
And that was Tracy Day and Hanky Panky. And folks, you're not going to believe this. The flip side is about as different as you can get from the recording you just heard, Hanky Panky. And this one is called Shaking the Blues Away.
I love this song. This song, for me at that time, and to do this song, I mean, it's so different than anything else I did at that time. And Bob did this track for me in England. I think it was 42-piece band that he recorded, and he brought it back. Of course, it was in my key, and I did it. I just loved it. I did the Merv Griffin show because of this song.
Shake up your cares and troubles, telling the blues to go. They may refuse to go, but as a rule, they'll go if you shake them away. Do like the voodoo do, listening to voodoo melodies. They shake their bodies so, to and fro. Well, that's a shame. A lucky break of proving that sails away. You chase those cares away. If you were to lose your baby blues, shake them away. Well, there's an old superstition way down south. Everybody believes that trouble won't stay. But when they hold a revival way down south, everybody with care and trouble that day just as you get away. And they go shaking the blues away, unhappy news away. If you are blue, it's easy to shake up your cap.
I guess I have to ask you, I mean, we've heard Hanky Panky and then Shaking the Blues Away on two sides of the same record. Which is the real Tracy Day?
Wow.
They're so different.
Real Tracy Day. What do you think is the real Tracy Day? You would probably say Hanky Panky, right?
Well, I might say Hanky Panky only because most of your recordings were hook-laden, different from Shaking the Blues Away.
Right.
I think if you did more recordings of the style of Shaking the Blues Away, I might have a totally, you know, different opinion. But you didn't do that many with that style.
No.
Once in a Blue Moon is sort of in that vein, too.
You're right, because when I did The Living Room and I did some subsequent club work, you know, I had that in there. I was going more towards that type of stuff.
Okay, so in other words, if you had stayed at it,
I think you would have heard more of that side.
Okay.
I really enjoyed singing that.
Oh, I know what Merv Griffin probably said. I'll have Tracy on my show, but she ain't going to do any hanky-panky. So. So she did Shaking the Blues Away. Well, Tracy, I know that there are so many people in the United States and also around the world who are what you call girl group aficionados. And again, they put you into that category, but so many people have asked me over the last year, could you find Tracy Day? Could you do an interview with Tracy Day? I can't thank you enough. Last question is, are you doing any performing? Might you do some performing in the future? Are you going to be more visible?
Well, I'm kind of writing now. I'm doing more behind the scenes writing. I wrote a screenplay, which hopefully will be produced shortly, and it's going to take place in the city. And I'm writing stage plays, and that's ongoing, and that's at the HB Studio in Village, in Greenwich Village. And to answer your question, maybe one day I will get my songs together and put some new songs in and do something. That would be great.
Well, that would be fantastic. It'd be even better if you could actually make some money from those, putting them out yourself, you know. By the way, if you get the screenplay out, is it going to be a Nora Ferrari or is it going to be a Tracy Day screenplay?
Well, I think I submitted the copyright as Nora Ferrari already.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And the last thing that all of my listeners want to know before we march home, hint, 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 do you drive a Ferrari?
No. And I hit my husband every day on the head because I say, I want a red one. You better get me a red Ferrari.
We're going to march out of here. This one was on Columbia Records, 1966. All the luck in the world to you. The best of everything. Thank you again so very much.
You're quite welcome.
Let's march home. The show. Now a couple of bonus tracks by Tracy Day, leading off with one that's called, I better spell this one, D-I-D-N apostrophe and then Y-A. Didn't ya?
Why didn't you?
Finally, we have Tracy doing a song called Jealous Eyes.
Fate has funny ways that taunt me so much. Seems the things I love I see but can't touch. Oh, why? I have jealous eyes. Jill and Donna are a cute, steady pair. They must laugh at me each time that I stare. Jealous eyes.